chapter 15.
You'll turn there, please. I want to read one verse, and that is verse 18. Acts chapter 15 and verse 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. My subject this morning is God has and is keeping books. God has and is keeping books. Maybe bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you today for all that you've done for us, especially, Lord, for your goodness, mercy, and love. We're thankful for the great salvation that you have graciously given to us and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know because of it that one day we'll go and dwell we on thine feet. Father, our hearts, we yearn for that time and that day. We're thankful for the day that you've given us now that we might live and serve you. And for this privilege we have to come into your presence. And Lord, we earnestly seek thy face this morning, that you would guide us and lead us and direct us. And help us, Lord, that we might stay our hearts and our minds upon thee. And we do pray, as the presence of the Holy Spirit is in our midst, that he would lead us and guide us and direct us. And he would, Lord, open our hearts and understandings to the truth of God's Word. And he would enable us this morning that we might be receptive to receive the Word of God gladly. And then there may even be the opening of the hearts of lost sinners, that they might be brought to repentance and faith, receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We're thankful for this church and for way back in the year of August 1957, planting here. We realize this is in your purpose and plan. We're thankful for all the people that you, through the years, saved and added this church, and this church has been a lighthouse in this community. Thankful for the good years and times that you've enabled us to preach the Word of God here. We pray, Father, that you'd continue to do so according to your will, purpose, and plan. And Lord, that we might, as your people, experience and see a great revival in these last days. That we might see saved folks turning their lives around for your honor and glory. And that we might see the lost come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We know you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that you do not change and there is no variableness with you. We realize that we're only sinners saved by grace. Father, that we do need your directions and we do need your word. And I pray that you would help us this morning as we go into the Word of God, and that you would lead and guide and direct, and truly that we might see the manifestation of your power and your word, and then, Lord, in this congregation of people this morning. Now I pray that you would give us the physical strength that we need, and that you would also bless us spiritually. And I pray that you forgive me of my sin. In Christ's name, I ask God. Amen. This is going to be my Easter message. Known unto God, if there is such a thing. Not known unto God, but what some people call an Easter message. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Now, I plan, the Lord willing, to dive into this morning, into that God has, and He is keeping books. I don't believe there's any doubt in our mind that this is God's book. I believe that we wholeheartedly receive this to be the Word of God. Meaning that God is the author of this book. And this book is concerning God. Now we know that God the Holy Spirit moves men. And they wrote as God inspired and as God moved them. They wrote this book that we have, which we call the Bible or God's Word. But we've got to realize, and I believe from various scriptures in the Word of God, we realize that God is an omniscient being, that He's all known. I don't know everything, and I forgot a whole lot of what I used to know. And I don't know whether you're in that situation this morning or not. I was talking to somebody last night, and I said, well, lately I can't even think. And they said, oh, goodness, we hope you can think. But sometimes, you know, those things do happen to us. But not so with God. Now, He knows all things before they come to pass. I can't understand how that there's a lot of people who won't give God credit for anything. And there's a lot of things that they want to give God credit for, but it's only to their choosing or what they select. Now, He is the author of all things, either by His direct or permissive will. We have to understand that. And He knows every human being. There's not a person that's ever been born or shall ever be born that God does not know. Now, He don't just come to know them when they're born. But He knows them even before that they're formed in the womb or before that they're even born. Jeremiah talks about that in Jeremiah chapter 1 and in verse 5. He knows them personally. Amen. I mean, every person that has ever been born, He knows them personally, and He knows their name. He knows the name of every person before they're born, and He knows the name of every person after they're born, and He knows the name of every person after they die. And God don't forget about a one of them. He knows of everyone. Now, He is the author of the Bible and several other books. Do you know that? God is the author of the Bible and several other books. I want us to notice some books mentioned in the Word of God that God is the author of. Let's first of all go to the Old Testament. And turn with me over in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. And notice with me there in verse 32. And here's what it says. Yet now, this is Moses speaking. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now, God has done a lot of wrath. We see record of Him writing some commandments in some tables of stone. And He did it with His fingers. Now, look at that last verse in Exodus 31. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. And there were words that God wrote on those tables of stones with his finger. Now, we find, though, that Exodus chapter 32 is sort of a dark picture of Israel at a certain time. What happens is when Moses goes up on the mount, that is, Moses as the leader of the children of Israel, the people begin without their leader then to be afraid and to think something has happened to Moses and think that they're going to perish or they're going to die out there in that wilderness. But you remember God had called Moses up in the mount to give him the tables of stone and the Ten Commandments. And so the people then began, when they saw that they had no leader at that time, they then began to think about worldly things and began to think about the land of Egypt from which they had come out of and the gods of the Egyptians. And so then they began to pursue Aaron, who was the brother of Moses, to build him a god or to build him an idol. Now people are going to worship something. If it is not the true God, they're going to worship the gods of the world. And many times people will turn from the true God and turn to the gods of the world. Now look, Moses comes down off the mount. He hears all that noise. He comes down into camp. Now let's look at verse 19. It came to pass as soon as he came nigh under the camp that he saw the calf. Now that was a molten calf, a calf that had been made out of gold. And one of the gods of the Egyptians worshipped this image. And notice, and dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot and cast the tables out of his hands and break them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it with fire and ground it to powder and strode it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Now listen to this. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. You know, here he is laying it off on the people. It's good, seemingly, to the flesh if you can lay your sins off on somebody else. Or if you can make an excuse for your sins. Aaron didn't have no excuse here for this. This was not an excuse. Now look what he said. For they said unto me, I tell you, if you did everything people told you to do, and if you try this, you're going to be in heap big trouble. That is, with the Lord. And a lot of people today get themselves in trouble with the Lord because they try to be like other people and do what everybody else tells them to do rather than what the Lord tells them to do. Now look, for they said unto me, make us gods, plural, which shall go before us, for as for this Moses. Now that sounds like a little rough statement. The man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we won't know what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast in the fire, and there came out this calf. Now that sounds about like a lot of people's excuses around the New Testament Baptist church. Said, they brought all their gold, and I threw it in the fire, and out jumped the calf. Now you know better than that. It was molten, and it had to be formed, and it had to be shaped. And it's ridiculous, and it's humorous sometimes what people say about serving the Lord. And you're not going to get by with it. The Lord's going to deal with you. I ain't going to deal with you. The Lord's going to deal with you. I'm just going to preach to you. Amen. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, now look at that. For Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. And Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said,
Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me, and all the sons of Levi gather themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. So here in verse 31, he declares the people have sinned a great sin. And then here's what Moses said. Now, y'all know and I know that there's only one substitute for sin. Moses is not a substitute for sin. And Moses himself cannot become an atonement for the sins of those people. He cannot. And there's no way around. There's only one substitute for sin, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That was going to die at the cross of Calvary. Amen. But it's like a lot of people say sometimes, Well, I'd be willing to die for my children. I'd be willing to die in the place of my children. I'd be willing to die in the stead of my children. I believe Moses knew God, and I believe that Moses knew the truth of God. And I believe that Moses knew there was only one atonement for sin, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ, which one day was going to go there to Calvary and was going to die for the sins of his people, even Moses. Now, the book is mentioned, though there's a book mentioned here, in verse 32 and verse 33, now look. And yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, look at this. He's not going to blot Moses out of his book. Now, I believe Moses' name is in more than one book. I believe there's two books that we deal with in the Word of God. And sometimes it's not real clear. You've got to look at the context as to what is being read. And we know the security of people that are saved. We know that truth. Now, I believe that we find here that, and the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now, it's not the book of life he's talking about. I mean, the Lamb's book of life. God don't write names in the Lamb's book of life and then later on blot them out because of something that they do. Now, I'll tell you that as we go along. And we'll see, if you know any Baptist truth at all, you know better than that. Because God would be a liar if he were to do such a thing like that. So we see that he's talking about here, I believe, of the book of the living. Now, God knows every person. I believe that every person that's ever born, their name's written down in the book. I believe it's the book of the living. Every person that's ever been born, or every person that ever shall be born, is in the book of the living. And you know, well, what he was talking about here, 3,000 had just died. 3,000 had just lost their life, or their lives had been taken because of this great sin. And I believe that Moses was willing to die himself if God would not destroy the children of Israel from off the face of the earth. I believe that's exactly what he was talking about here. Now, this is not the book of life of the Lamb. You got to remember that. A lot of people are confused. They don't think God's ever written one book. But that's where they're wrong. He's written this book. I believe there's the book of the living. I believe there's the Lamb's book of life. And we're going to see a whole lot more books that are in the Word of God. So it confuses our thinking many times. Now, a similar case with the Apostle Paul. Go to Romans chapter 9 and look with me there in verse 3. Now, Moses had such a concern for his people Israel. And I believe the same thing we see was Paul had such a concern with his brethren Israel that he wanted to see them saved so bad. And he made this statement here. He said, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Now, he said this because of the desire to see his kinsmen saved. Now, he is not saying that he wants to go to hell. Paul never wanted to go to hell. Paul knew better than that. I wouldn't. It would be foolish for you to say, "Well, I'd be, with what you know, say, I'd be willing for my name to be taken out of the Lamb's book of life for somebody to be saved." It'd be foolish to say that when you know it can't be, and you know that God won't do it. It would be foolish to say such a thing. Now look at this. "But that he would be cut off for the service of Christ, and Christ would take his life." Just like Moses. I believe the same thing that Moses. Now Paul knew the great truths of God's Word. Did he not? Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and therein verse 12 of 2 Timothy 1. And here's what Paul says. "For the which cause I also suffer these things." Look at this great truth. "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." Now look at this. He not only knew the faith, and not only knew who he believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. You know why people want to find in the Word of God and think they have found where God blots people out of the Lamb's book of life? It's because they don't know how that salvation comes about to begin with, and they don't know how God fixes people. They don't know. And so they're looking for something. They're desperately looking for something. And they're saying, "Now, what are you going to do with this? I ain't going to do nothing with it. I'm going to read it exactly like it is." Now, both Moses and Paul were willing to die if God would spare the lives of their brethren. If they would spare the Israelites, and if he would save those Jews. They both knew that there was only one substitute for the elect, Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God. Moses knew that, and Paul knew it. And I know it, brother. And I believe that many of you know it this morning, too. So don't let people tinker with you with the doctrine of the Bible or try to confuse you on that. Now, let's look in Psalms. Psalms has some places. I want you to look at this here book that says here in Psalm 69. And I want you to notice with me in this Psalm, Psalm 69, and there in verse 28 of Psalm 69. Now notice what it says. Now, it says, "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous." Now look, who's he talking about being blotted out? Go back to verse 18. Let's know. "Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies." Now he's talking about God's people's enemies and adversaries. He says, "Thou hast known my reproach and my shame, my dishonor, mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none for comforts, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. But their table become a snare before me. But that which should have been, and see, the same enemies of Christ are our enemies, been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not. Make their loins continue to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten. And we're talking about, of course, Christ. And they taught the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. So I believe that the book of the living, there is the book of the living. All of the living are recorded in this book. But now I want us to show you some other books. Go with me to the book of Daniel. I want you to see what is said in Daniel, and there in chapter 7. I'm going to have to hurry here. Daniel, get all these in. Daniel chapter 7, and in verse 10. And notice what he says here in this passage of Scripture. Now, Daniel 17. Now, these are books of judgment. Now, look at this. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Now, look. Thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Now, who are we talking about? We're talking about the Ancient of Days. In the verse before. The judgment was set and the books were opened. Now, I tell you, God's got more than a book. God has books. Now, I believe that this is a carryover. This was the Ancient of Days. Thousands ministered unto him. All you got to do to see this is turn over to Revelation chapter 20. And I want you to notice there, in Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 12. Now this is at the, these are the books of judgment that are going to be used in judgment. God is recording the deeds. Not only does God know the names of every living person, whether saved or not saved, but God is recording the deeds of every person, especially those that are not saved. And I believe he's even recording the deeds of those that are saved. But look here at these that are not saved at the great white throne judgment. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now here it is. And the books were open. Books, plural. The books were open. I tell you, I'm amazed at what you can put in a computer and put on a hard disk, how much you can put in. But I'm amazed that there, all of these books are open, recording all of the deeds of those that are going to be cast in the lake of fire. That blows my mind to think about this. And of course, the books were open. And then it talks about, I'm not going to mention this now, we're going to talk about it later. And another book was open, which is the book of life. Sometimes it's called the book of life, sometimes it's called the Lamb's book of life. It's recorded in the Word of God. And I believe that as to whether sometimes it is the book of the living, we're determined by the context that we're reading and what it says about this. But what we see here is the books of judgment were many books, and the books were open. All you have to do is go on and see. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books. Now, who wrote the things in the books? The dead didn't write. Those that were not saved didn't write them. Man's not, a man that's not saved, he's not keeping a record of all of his deeds and sins. But God is. God's writing them all down. And I'll tell you, I sometimes isn't it a hassle sometimes to just keep up your record, you know, just your simple records that you have, and you forget to write down something and you lose the date and you have to search through the count of money. And God don't have that problem at all. And even though he says he's writing and recording the deeds of every person that is alive, he's writing them down in books. And so we see that there is not only a book that God has, but there are books that are being written. Now these books are being written in this very day. This time that we're right here, God is recording things in these books, the book of judgment. But then, praise God, there's another book, and it said, and another book was opened. Now, I believe it's the same book as you'll find over in Revelation 21. Look with me here in 21:27. It talks about 21 and 22 is talking about the eternal ages and being in the presence of Almighty God and the glorious place where that we're going to spend eternity. And was talking about those that would be able to enter in and those that would not be able to enter in. It said there in verse 27, And there shall in no wise, this is a description of the place that God has prepared for those that are going to spend eternity with Him, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But now notice, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now we see here, they were written in the Lamb's book of life by God. God wrote them out. God wrote the names of His people in the Lamb's book of life. Now, I don't know exactly this is the way it is, but this is in my thinking right now. And, you know, the Lord straighten me out when I get to heaven, or maybe sooner. You know, sometimes the Lord straightens you out sooner before you ever get to heaven, you know. Straightens you out two ways. But turn with me to John chapter 17. Well, let's look first of all at Ephesians 1:4. Now, and then John 17. Now, this has to do, I believe, with persons, individuals that have names. And I believe that that these names are written down. Now, I believe that they're recording the book of living. I believe there are also some names that are recording the Lamb's book of life, and some are not recording the Lamb's book of life. But now look at Ephesians 1:4. Now we're dealing with individual persons, and all of them have names. You know, it can be John, Jude, James, Susie, and you know, all the names, and all the names we think of. Now look at this. According as He has chosen us in Him, now that's God choosing some people in Christ from among the names of all the living. And God knew every person that was going to be born. God knew every person was going to live. And He knew where they were going to live. He knew the time they were going to live. God knew their name, every one of them. Now, keep this in mind. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, this is the select group. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, what did He do with these? Now when God chose them, they weren't there in person. But they were there in name. When God chose them, God knew the names, and He knew who they were and who they were going to be born. Now think about this. They weren't there in person. I wasn't in person with God before the foundation of the world. Neither was you. But now look what He did in the 17th chapter of the book of John. I thought about bringing some books over here to illustrate this, but I'm not too good at illustrations like that. But you could illustrate it. And look in John chapter 17 and verse 2. And as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Now remember this. God chose from among all of those living that were going to live. I mean, they weren't living yet, but all of those from the book of the living that were going to live one day, God chose and He gave those to the Son. That's what He's saying here. And they weren't there in person. But God knew them and they were there only in name. Now, they were given to the Son. Look at verse 6. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world, thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now, Daniel knew of this book. The prophet Daniel knew that God had a book like this. For listen to what he says in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, and therein, verse 1 of that 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. Listen to what the Word of God says. Or what he says. He says this. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Now notice, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Daniel knew that God had such a book. And he was talking about a time yet future.
Amen.
And God was going to deliver every one of them because they're written in that book. And that book is the Lamb's book of life. I tell you, and Paul knew this book. I mean, I know what the Apostle Paul did. When he wrote the church of Philippi, listen to what he said in Philippians chapter 4, and there in verse 3, he said this, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel," the women also, notice, "and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Daniel not only knew, but Paul knew. Brother, I'll tell you, that name, the book of the living with the names of every person was God with God in eternity. But yet there was a Lamb's book of life also that was written by God in eternity. And those people or names of those people in that book of life are those that the Father gave to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Revelation speaks of the book of life, which is the Lamb. But there are some names that are not written in this book. Now there are some that are written in this book, but there are some that are not written in this book. Now God, I believe, has appointed all people that have ever lived, but in the Lamb's book of life, there are only some that God has chosen that are written, and there's others that are not written in this book. Look at Revelation 13:8, and note. This is the time of the terrible tribulation and the time of the Antichrist. And the time that when they're going to be tried, they're going to try to cause them to worship Antichrist. It says this, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." And there's a lot on the earth that's going to worship him. But there's some that, and it tells who they are, whose names are not written. Now look at that. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now God's not writing in this book. Now, this book is complete. He wrote all the names, and there's not new names being written down. You can sing that all you want. I mean, we don't sing that, but you can sing that all you want, and it's mine, it's mine. There ain't no such truth as that. There ain't no new names being written in, and there ain't none being taken in. There's no blotter used, and there's no eraser used in this book. They were put in there, and but there were some were not put in there. It makes it clear. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." So, the thing is, there's some, these that are not written in that Lamb's book of life are going to worship Antichrist, but the ones that are written in the Lamb's book of life at this time are not going to worship Antichrist.
Amen.
Now look at Revelation 17, and notice with me there in verse 8. "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder." Now look at this. "Whose names were not written." Were not. These people are living now, but they were not written. Now, when were they were not written? In the book of life from the foundation of the world. "When they behold the beast that was, and he is not, and yet is." Now, God has recorded names. The names written before the foundation of the world remain through the eternal ages. They were put there then, and they'll remain there, and not a one of them will be blotted out. You say, well, why? Well, there's a lot of good biblical truth. I'm glad you asked me. Revelation 3, and there in verse 5, and we got to remember now, as we're talking about the church at Sardis, and when the Lord, when the angel of the Lord wrote, and he said that he had a few names there that had not defiled their garments. Now these were those that I believe that their names had been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, claimed from the foundation of the world. And these are the ones that by the grace of God was enabled to endure through this terrible time here at Sardis. And he says in verse 5, he that overcomes. Now we know that of ourselves apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no overcoming. And we know the only ones that will overcome are those that are in Jesus Christ. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. Now that does not infer that some were there and they've got blotted out. It does not. He just says he will not. It's an impossibility. He will not. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, the reason for this and the reason that there will be no names blotted out of the book of life, that is the Lamb's book of life, is because it would be contrary to everything God teaches in his word. It would be contrary to the choice of persons to everlasting life and salvation. This book shows the exact knowledge God has of his elect. The value he has for them and his remembrance of them, it shows his love to them and his care for them. This election is of particular persons by name. It is sure and certain, and all the names written shall be never blotted out. They remain. They're there. The number never diminishes. None of them ever perish. Because of God's unchangeableness, of the nature and love of God, the firmness of his purposes, because of the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and their union to him and being in him. We're in union to him and we're in Christ. And that cannot be dissolved. It cannot be changed. Now, many refer to Revelation 22:19. And that's where they get all confused. Revelation 22:19. You can't take one verse of Scripture in the Bible and make it teach contrary to everything else the Bible teaches. Now, people do that. But they're confused. Of course they are. And you've got to remember the context and what we're talking about in this time here. We're talking about the worshipers of the beast. And we're talking about an anti-Christian party at this time. And we're talking about people that are saying they've got something that they have. We have people professing to be saved members of this church that are not. Because first of all, they're not saved, and secondly, they can't be a member of this church if they're not saved and God's not added them to it. They're only professing to be. Now, I believe that whosoever are written in this book, that is, the Lamb's Book of Life, shall be saved. Now keep this in mind here. But go with me to this one verse. I'm just going to give one. There's a Bible for it. Go with me to John chapter 6. Now, I want you to, in the thought, in the meaning of what I've been preaching and saying, I want you to look this verse, and I want you to think about it in this way. John chapter 6. And look with me in verse 37. Now, look at this. This is a familiar verse to you, one we've preached and preached with. But now think of it in the context of the setting that I've preached. Here's what it says. Here's what Jesus said. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And that's a great truth.
Amen.
Every one of them are going to come to Christ. Are they going to come to Christ and then he's going to blot them out of the Lamb's Book of Life? Certainly not. Nonsense. This way would defy this first scripture. Look. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. It's an impossibility. God's word does not contradict itself. It's people that do not know the truth and do not believe the truth that are always trying to find contradictions in God's word. It's our lack of understanding. Now, there is the taking away of the part of such in Revelation. 22:19, because now, who's regarded here, basically, are the names not in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 13:8 and Revelation 17:8. Wherefore, taking away the part of such is only taking away that which they seem to have. Now, let me show you that. Luke chapter 8. Go with me, Luke chapter 8. I'm concerned today, there's a lot of people seem like they have something, but they don't. That don't. Look in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. He don't have it, but he seemeth to have. Now, these shall be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Now, well, salvation is to eternal life. The persons of all ages are recorded in the book of the living. All the persons chosen from among the persons of all ages are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not a one of them will perish. If you're here this morning and not saved, the only way of salvation is in Jesus Christ. And just think about this verse. In context of what I said. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Look at John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now this morning, I know that my name is in the Lamb of Life. Say, how do you know it? Because I'm saved. Because God saved me. By His grace. And He only saves people that their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I didn't know it was there until God saved me. And then as I began to read and see, I didn't even know when God wrote it there, but I knew now. I know that now. And I know that it'll never be blotted out. And I know the salvation that God gives in and through His Son is an eternal salvation. And it is to eternal life.